Bildungsentwicklung Tanz, ein Forschungsprojekt, konzipiert, gestaltet und realisiert von Paul Vosser. Heute mit
Gustavo Fischerkopf. Hello, today we are with Gustavo Fischerkopf. Gustavo is a dancer, choreographer, dance producer, dance manager, and researcher. He received his dance education in Argentina, Germany, and Netherlands. And as a professional dancer, he has performed internationally and explored pure dance forms as well as site-specific, experimental, and interdisciplinary formats, young theater, and performance. For 10 years, he was the creative producer and production director of Dina Treizehn Tanz Company, the German company which pioneered mixed table dance. He received his Master of Arts in International Arts Management and his PhD with a thesis on National Dance Platform, a comparative study of the cases in Germany, Israel, Sri Lanka, and the UK. And he was a British Council Fellow of the 2018 Venice Biennale. Furthermore, Gustavo has conceived and curated several international and interdisciplinary festivals and conferences and is regularly invited to lecture internationally. He has a special focus on power structures immanent to systems, the distribution of power and its effects on aesthetic discourses. Since 2020, he has been the artistic director of the Forward Dance Company in Leipzig, a project of Loft, Das Theater. And he has substantially contributed to the development of unique at dance educational project with the aim to make dance studies accessible to potential dancers with different physicalities. Hello, dear Gustavo.
Hello, dear Paolo, thank you very much for having me here.
You're really welcome. So would you like to add any information or make some correction about the short biography I read?
No, just a short notice to say that the project Unique at Dance was initiated by the Dina Treizehn Tanz Company.
Yes.
And that more than a choreographer, I'm a dance dramaturg.
Great. Thank you for adding.
The rest was completely accurate.
Cool, I'm happy. So first of all, thank you very much again for agreeing to do this interview for my platform Bildung Entwicklung Tanz, Educational Development Dance. And of course, thank you so much for your precious time. I will just jump for the first question. How does education relate to dance for you?
Do you mean in general education, or do you mean within the realm of dance education, or can you be more specific?
For sure. I mean, it's an open question, so you can give your interpretation. For me, it's both in general education and or specific. It depends also, I mean, in your cases, of course, will be more interesting to hear what you think about the general, what is in German, it's called with this beautiful word Bildung, that is really concerning all the ideas of education.
I mean, there are different, I think there are different different layers, or I could give many different answers to this. A very practical answer that pops directly into my mind comes out of the framework of this project Unique at Dance, which I'm working with now. And that refers to specifically to dance educations and the exclusionary mechanisms which are inbuilt into the ways that dance educations have historically been constructed. And one of the very clear examples of that is the since the Bologna reform, dance educations have also been organized in BAs and MAs to be according to European standards. And especially on the BA level, the curriculum is full or is significantly shaped by conveying different techniques to access dance and to reproduce dance. And these techniques have generally been devised for specific physicalities, for dancers who have a specific appearance or specific appearances according to each of the techniques. That means that if the study in itself is constructed through and by especially these techniques, and they have been devised for specific physicalities, people who don't have them are implicitly excluded. I speak about the BAs. Of course, it wasn't different, or it is not different in the case of conservatories, which can be sometimes even more conservative in the way that they understand dance. But nevertheless, even in more progressive, comparatively more progressive situations, in which knowledge is theoretically analyzed and questioned, and the ways in which knowledge can be accessed are being proved as part of the academic context, even in those contexts, within a BA and an MA, studying dance is not accessible for many people. That means that dance educations should be revisited, questioned, analyzed, calibrated again, for them to be in accordance to a new social reality. It's not a new social reality. The reality has always existed. It's just that we haven't taken notice, or we didn't want to take notice. The educational system is framed by policy, and policy is discussed and framed politically. Of course, in Germany, we have the very lucky situation that there is a certain autonomy of educational institutions from the state. Educational institutions are not do not need to respond directly to what the state wants or wants them to teach. That's a great, dispositive, if you want, to ensure that nothing can happen like a Gleichschaltung, like what happened in times of dictatorship, so that education cannot be just made a tool of a dictatorial government. That said, education happens within frameworks which are created by the state and not outside of the state. So there is an interaction there, and it's a complex relationship of moments of check for both sides, so to say, of checkings of powers for both sides, which is a very delicate balance to be dealt with. So returning to dance educations, we are at the moment in that luckily the dance market, even if that's a word which is controversial, but the space in which professional dancers act has opened up to a certain extent and sees the necessity of seeing different people of stage, on stage, of seeing different physicalities, of seeing different ways of dancing on stage, which is great. That's been happening more and more. But what happens is that the dance world, and that means the festivals, conferences, companies, choreographers, artistic directors, want to have dancers, of which there are very few. And why are there very few of some dancers? It's because they don't have access to education. So if they don't have access, so this is something that has to be changed at the moment. And that's what we are working in with the project Unique at Dance. And this sounds as if I wanted to make publicity for the project, but my aim is not to make publicity for the project, but to encourage people to say, okay, we need to think of ways of opening dance educations to reflect the real requirement of the dance scene at the moment. And therefore, we need to revisit auditions for dance educations and their criteria. We need to revisit the curriculum, which are then conveyed once in the education. We need to revisit the criteria with which we mark, with which we acknowledge success in acquiring knowledge. And all that can only be done when educational institutions have a clearer image of the alumni they want to have. Because only then they can act coherently with that image. And if this image is not questioned and contested, we will never change education from the beginning. Has that answered to a certain extent part of your question?
I find it great. And you touch, of course, a specific aspect, but as doesn't exist any training that's involved everything, there is also no answer that can involve all things. And I think this aspect was not touched until now in this podcasting. Therefore, I'm really grateful that you pointed. And of course, we can open up to this one and making not only to different physicality, but for different people in general.
Definitely. You are completely right. The point is, I generally speak about people with different physicalities, just because that's my professional expertise, I would say. And I don't want to talk about things that I don't know. So, on the one hand. On the other hand, because the dance techniques have a very strong focus on shaping bodies, that means physicalities, I think there is a strong point for thinking physicalities in the beginning. Just because dance has defined itself and been defined by bodies throughout history. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't want to consider other aspects. They are completely important and as important. But these two aspects, or these two reasons I have named, make me talk about physicalities more than anything else.
Yes, and it's a very important point.
I think there is a complication in, or there is a trap in needing or placing or putting all the, how can I voice this in a way that makes sense? If, unluckily, throughout Western theater dance history, some specific norms have been defined. If I put everything that is not part of this norm together in one bag, inadvertently, I am cementing this binary, the norm and the unnorm. And that I do, and I refuse to do that in a way. So that's also a reason why I try not to talk about everything that is not that norm, And I say, well, this is my possible contribution is within the realm of physicality and dance. And I make a point of thinking physicality and dance because of what I've already explained about the focus of dance onto bodies and physicalities. And I don't want to put all the rest in as one, I say, in inverted comma, challenge, problem, situation, deviation that has to be solved altogether to deal with the norm. I think that there is a trap there.
Yes, I agree. And I also agree that we all cannot be comprehensive and speak about what we know. And actually, I also believe that in every detail, there is a cosmos that can also connect with other things. But your contribution, as I said in the beginning, is very important. And until this moment, we didn't touch this argument so specifically. So therefore, I'm very grateful to you. And we continue with this because we'll be really narrow. And with my second question. Mm-hmm. So, dear Gustavo, as happens more and more often to me, the interviewed are not only extremely committed and knowledgeable people, but also people I have known and esteemed over many years. And you are one of these. Your path ranges from performing to create to producing, conceiving, and today also devising new path of thought, new ways of transmitting thinking and educating dance. This always supported by the continuous learning and research in both theory and practice. For you, I have the following question that touches the main focus of your most recent work. How can dance today accompany the change that society is undergoing on the revision of power structures? And how do these new structures impact on dance?
Wow, that's a great one and a complex one and let's see how I go into that. Let me see where I can start. Firstly, I need to narrow the context of which I talk. I talk about theater dance, and with that, by doing so, I do not hierarchize theater dance over community dance or over dance in education or over other contexts in which dance happens and takes place. But the context which I have focused mostly is theater dance, disregarding the fact that we have just talked about education, and I also have a lot to do with dance and education, but always with this idea of theater dance as an aim. That's the place in which I locate myself. So that's already narrow, that narrows the discussion. And within this context of theater, Western theater dance or theater dance in the West, I locate myself within the context of what is broadly described as contemporary dance, as opposed to classical ballet or modern ballet, let's say, of dance forms that do not specifically rely on the ballet technique. Yeah, and I'm not going into the very complex discussion and terminology of what is contemporary, what is postmodern, what is, because I that's why I say roughly and broadly. Yeah, just to be able to narrow a little bit the place in which I'm placing myself. A very interesting phenomenon within this context of contemporary dance is that it has from the beginning been used to as a soft skill to convey different views of the world, that it has been used by political instances to create national narratives, and that it has been, and that it has therefore responded to the political circumstances in which the different techniques have emerged in more or less conscious ways. What we call, as I say again, broadly, roughly contemporary dance has been globalized since the 90s, basically, in through devices that are, no, I would start differently. In a country which claims for itself to be a nation of culture, la nation de la culture, France, or a format has appeared there in 1968, actually 1969, which was devised for giving space to choreographers who were not doing ballet for them to be able to show their work. And that was the choreographic competition in Saint-Denis. In this what used to be a in the beginning, a festival of national reach, or actually only one night within a broader dance festival of more days, developed very quickly into being a space in which international choreographers, that means not only French, working in this non-ballet dance, could present their work. And that gained so much momentum that the director of this festival devised a system by which in different countries there were like pre-selections that were held on a national level to have the winners or the people considered worth of to being sent to the international festival in Saint-Denis. And thus, in a way, there was a relationship created between the choreographer and the country that was being represented in a strange way. That said, the focus was on the choreographer and not on the countries. But out of these national pre-selection instances, a specific form of festival developed in the 90s, which was the National Dance Platform, in which people thought, let's not just invite all our people to find the best to be sent to France for them potentially win a prize, but let's have all the people that of our national context that we think could be interesting for programmers from abroad perform together in this kind of selection platform. We just do not select to send someone abroad, but we bring programmers, offer them our people / our products, and they can buy what they want. If you make a historical parallel, and we are talking about year 92, we are talking about a moment in which the neoliberalism is the rationale that governs relationships between actors. We are in the post-Reagan, post-Thatcher era. Neoliberalism is all over. Yeah, that means that in this sense, what happens is that as a response, as a non-conscious response to this rational, national dance situations are created, in which also the nations are being products to be sold together with the dance that is being sold. And that brings us to your question about power and how power is distributed. Why? Well, because on a global level, power is not distributed evenly, because not in every country the production conditions are similar, because not every country has the same possibility to make its voice heard, and not every country has the political leverage to endow what they do with the claim of universal meaning. So that brings us to a problem of hegemonic and peripheral countries within a system that has been organized revolving around Europe and the North Atlantic connection with the US. So power is inherently part of this construction. If we decline this to each and every country, then we also need to think power, or to think through how power is distributed, because not every dancer is being legitimized to embody the nation in this situation of the National Dance Platform. Not every dance form is considered, legitimate again, sorry for repeating the word, is considered to be worth it of being shown. I mean, if you think of the discussions that exist in terms of expanding or making more porous the borders between the traditional contemporary dance techniques and hip hop and voguing and other forms of traditional / folk dances. I mean, there are definitely many discussions going around, but from this moment, or from the 90s on, in which these national dance platforms appeared, the question was, okay, what is it worth it to be shown? And then what is legitimate enough? What is it worth it? What is it valuable enough to be presented at this national dance platform? Who is entitled to do it? And what story will they be able to convey? And all that together creates a narrative about, because all that together creates a narrative about the nation that is being implicitly displayed through the framing of a national dance platform. Despite the fact that most of the productions which are shown nowadays in national dance platforms are international co-productions with international monies, with international dancers, and with non-national choreographers. So the full system is in a way a contradiction in itself. But power is part and parcel of each and every moment of the system. And if we are thinking of selection, we also need of processes of selection, we need to think of who is in charge of making the selection each time, and who has, again, the power to decide that these are the persons with power to decide. So there is always an instance behind the actual exercise power that has to be questioned to understand power or to follow the path of power.
Yes. I thank you for this cursus. Also, you make very clear timing and historically description. And that's, I think, at least happened to me. It's opened up a lot of synapses and make another way to see also dance as public, and watch connection, what it is. And as a dancer, we always think maybe in some naive way the work we are doing as artists and not thinking about what is connected with the success of somebody, success of a product, success of whatever things, not to criticize any system, just to not forget that is all part of a not implicit process that is behind.
Look, Paolo, the point is that I think we are in a post-aureatic moment. Yeah, it's not that a piece of art in itself carries its meaning, which is part and parcel of it, and it's hermeneutically to be understood. It's not. Meaning is constructed contextually. So we construct the importance of an artistic artifact, of a cultural artifact, of an art product, according to the place in which it's being displayed. With that, I'm not saying that there are not quality markers within a product. I'm not challenging that. But those quality markers are also constructed by contexts. Dance, I always take issue when I hear, yeah, but dance is universal. Dance is so easy because it's universally understood. So, well, yes, no. I understand where this assertion might come from. And again, bodies and their legitimacy are constructed contextually by systems of which power is part and parcel of. With that, I don't want to, and that brings us to maybe to rethinking how we create heritage, how we create the archive, who is considered important to be part of the canon, and canon means of the references we look up to, and the references that give us orientation when we want to be educated and when we educate. What do we educate for? Who are the role models? That all has to do with who has been canonized. Yeah. And already, I mean, if you think of Derrida and the fever of archive and his very accurate description of the archaeon, no? and how the archaeon actually regulates the entrance to their house, which becomes the archive. He is already saying that passing this entrance implies complying with the understanding of the archaeon, of what is allowed to pass. That means that importance and legitimacy are constructed, and that's in each and every moment in our careers.
Yes, thank you. I would just let this hypothetical discussion continue in every head that hearing this beautiful word that you said. And I will just also timing-wise, I will jump to my last question that somehow is, of course, connected. And how do you think education of the body should be in the future?
Well, education should be, first of all, accessible. And accessibility has many layers. It has a physical layer, an architectural layer, an economical layer, and probably many other layers that I can, that at this very moment I am not thinking of. So how do I see dance education in the future? Well, I think that ideally, every person who sees themselves as a potential dancer should have the possibility to access and receive dance education. That means that the institutions that regulate dance education should have the knowledge to be able to adapt to their potential students and to be able to give them, to provide them with the best possible education, and that means also offering them the possibility to envision the different ways in which one can be a dancer, and not only as a theater dancer, but also in the many, many, many different ways in which dance interacts with the rest of our society. I mean, we haven't spoken about this within this podcast, but dance, people who are knowledgeable in dance and choreography have many skills which are actually of paramount importance for other disciplines and for other analysis of social interaction. And I think these are possibilities that dance students have to be made aware of and that have to be constructed as much as the Western theater dancer in a more traditional sense.
And also not recognized. These kids are not officially recognized.
They are not officially recognized, I think, but I think that also has to do to a certain, I think that there is an aspect which is very important, is that especially in a moment in which life takes more and more place in digital spheres, there is something incredibly important, I would say unique, to dance in the body and the physical interaction of humans in a physical life way. I would almost venture to say that dance is the last place of resistance. And with that, I am not saying that dance and digitality don't go together. That's also very interesting. But there's something specific about dance in its physicality, in its presence of the sweating and breathing body in front of you and interacting with you, that seems to be the last space of resistance of a specific form of being in the world.
Absolutely agree. And hearing you, I think maybe it's even a necessary to give to dance new meaning, in the sense that I really strongly believe, after a professional career, I mean, I'm working still professionally in dance, but as not anymore as performer or, let's say, directing, acting, that dance is the, I don't want to say the only tools, but probably the stronger tools to connect people to themselves and to others. So as very, very strong social and cognitive and healthy aspect. And that, therefore, I believe, strongly believe, dance should be one of the themes that should be fixed in the school. Should, like, mathematics is important for understanding, but dance should be, I'm so strongly believe this and doing my small contribute to this.
Definitely, Paolo, because the point is that generally in schools, physicality is limited to physical education / sport. And sport has the framing of competition. Sport in itself has the framing of optimization. And that in itself is questionable, because this idea of the optimization has, to a certain extent, at least, it brings the alarms into red, if you want, at least in my head, within this context of neoliberalism and the ultimately optimized body to perform for specific things. And within dance, in the way that we are envisioning it, and that's why I specifically do not talk about the classical ballet technique, which has also a very problematic framing, even if I love it, but it has a very problematic framing ideologically and also in its physical implementation. But if we think of dance from in other ways of dance, it offers the possibility to connect with the body in a way which is not competitional, which doesn't have to do with optimization to perform in the double meaning of perform, but just as a place of encounter with oneself.
Exactly, exactly. And with this word, your last word, I would say thank you, thank you, thank you really much for your contribution. And I hope your word, I'm sure about it, and sharing of your experience and path inspire our listeners, and may this short conversation result in new connection for a free and productive exchange of knowledge. And of course, may this contribute to new discussion that enrich and improve the educational system of dance and through dance. So thank you so much, dear Gustavo. It was a pleasure.
Thank you very much for having me.
Das Forschungsprojekt wurde durch das Förderprogramm Distanzen finanziert. Distanzen ist Teil des Hilfsprogramms Tanz, das im Rahmen von Neue Start Kultur, eine Initiative der Beauftragten der Bundesregierung für Kultur und Medien, gefördert ist.